Well, guys, thank you for being here today. We are still in a series on Matthew chapter 6 through 5 through 7, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. And today we are in chapter 6, and I'm going to be talking about some verses that some of you aren't going to like. I'll be honest with you, because as I was reading it, I didn't like it either. Because God, when he steps on your toes, he doesn't just step, he stomps. You know what I mean? So, again, let me just preface this whole thing. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me, okay? And if you're mad about anything that I say, take it up with Jesus, because Jesus is the one talking. I had a talk with my son, my 19-year-old son, and I said, Philip, we need to kind of look at your life. You got a good job. You got a good education going on at school. We're proud of you. You know, you're coming home with A's. We like what you're doing. We like the fact that you're welding all kinds of stuff together in our backyard that me and your mom can't even get apart anymore. But hey, just keep practicing, son. But I want to talk to you about, what are you going to do about saving and giving and money? And he goes, well, what do you mean? You know, and I said, well, here's the thing. Try to live by a 10-10-80 principle. In other words, the first, when you get your check, the first 10% of that, give back to God. Because the scripture tells us that it's because of God's blessing on us, we have the ability to work, and that's how we make money. So give the first 10% back to God. And then the second 10, put in some kind of savings. And you guys all know power of 72, or the thing of 72, where you divide it by whatever, and you can tell how many years your money will double and things like that. And if you're young and 19, and let's say you put in $1,000, by the time you get to be my age, you're going to be a millionaire. If I were to do the same thing now, put in $1,000 at my age, I would have $1,000. So here's the thing. Time goes, so just put a little away each time, and you can begin to save. And then you have 80% of your money to live on. And he's like, okay. But, you know, if he's doing that, I don't know. You'll have to take that up with Margie. But at least I had this talk with him, because I haven't always been a great model of that. I want to be the kind of guy, and I was sharing this with Sandra the other day, I want to be the kind of guy that, hey, I want to buy what I want. You know, if I want a new car, I want to buy a new car. If I want to buy a new house, I don't want to buy a new house. But the thing is, if I want something, I just want to buy it. I have a bad problem with just impulse kind of thing. So I would buy it. But I also want to be real spiritual. In other words, when I'm going through Chick-fil-A, I want to pay for the guy behind me. Or when I'm in a line for something and I see someone struggling, I want to help them out. I want to be able to go to Ecuador, and I want to be able to spend money buying a TV or to buy housing stuff so people could put all their stuff together. I want to be able to do that, and I want to be able to buy the stuff, but Jesus says you can't. Not that you shouldn't. He says you can't. So what I want to do is I want to dive into Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 19. But before I do this, I want to preface everything that I'm going to say today, that the Bible has a lot to say about money. The Bible has a lot to say about money. 2,350 verses deal explicitly with money. And that's a lot. In the Old Testament, and that's where I'm going to move down here, because those lights are like hot. In the Old Testament, they talked about the tithe. The tithe simply is 10%. Give God the first 10%. Give him the best. Give him the first 10%. And there were three tithes that they did. There was the Levitical tithe. That's what they did each and every week. That was give 10% of whatever they had earned. There was a festival tithe. During the Festival of Booths, the one time of year, they would give an extra 10% for the festival tithe. And this went to either the sacrifices or it went to food during the feast kind of thing. And then in year number 3 and year number 6, they had what was called the charity tithe. So in year 3 and 6, out of their 7-year cycle, you had three tithes that you were responsible for. 10% of your to the church, or to the Levites who took care of the church and everything. The festival tithe, which got ready for the festival, and then the charity tithe, which took care of the people that were in need. So they had all of that kind of stuff. If you look at the Old Testament, there are many, many different things that the Bible says about giving and about saving and about doing. But here's I boiled them down to this. First, the proper use of our possessions has always been an important part of a rightly ordered relationship with God. In other words, if your possessions control you, then you're not in God's will. You are more concerned about your possessions, and they basically rule you. You know, is your God your possessions, or is God God? The second thing, faith is always the driving force behind the biblical characters who dealt with their wealth and giving. You know, in other words, there was a plan behind it, and it was always had to do with their faith. That I give this in faith, and God in turn continued to bless them. They didn't do it so they would get more blessings. You'll hear some churches today come from a prosperity side say, the more you give, the more you'll get. The more you give, the more you get in debt is what happens unless you are giving from a true place of giving. Okay? And then the third thing in the Old Testament, God clearly tells us that we are supposed to use our wealth to always help the poor. So then what happens in the New Testament? Well, in the New Testament, the thing that I can kind of figure out is, you know, people say, well, you don't have to tithe. That's the Old Testament. Well, it's not in the New Testament. You don't have to tithe, but here's what it says. You need to follow whatever Jesus teaches about exhibiting a set of character traits that honor and reflect God's character. In other words, if we were to follow what Jesus says, we don't give 10% anymore. Everything is God's. Not 10%, not 20%, not 30%, 100% is God's. And what are you going to do with that 100% that God has given you? It's God's anyway, so what do? We give back to God, we go on. I would think there's a 3S framework. There are some of us that are savers. I mean, you're not going to spend money on anything. There are some, like me, you're a spender. You spend money on everything. But Jesus doesn't want savers and spenders. Jesus wants servants. Servants. So let's get into this scripture and let's see what Jesus has to say. He says this, starting in verse 19. And when, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, listen to this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Then this one here too. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? Money. Again, this is what Jesus had to say. Jesus tells us one thing not to do and tells us one thing to do, and then he goes into telling us why. He tells us, and the first thing that I want us to understand is our stuff, the stuff that we get, our stuff impacts eternity. Our stuff can impact eternity. Go back to verses 19 through 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. How many of you grew up playing Monopoly? Anybody? Okay. Anybody play the new game Acquire? Anybody play that? It's like Monopoly on steroids. It's, you know, Monopoly, you want to get everybody, put everybody out. Acquire is you want to acquire everybody and you want to step on everybody on the way up or whatever. But anyway, in Monopoly, I loved playing Monopoly because, you know, I had a special thing that I would do every time, you know, and that was my strategy. And usually I would win and I'd be ha ha ha, and Margie would get up and like, yeah, ha ha ha. And you got to put the game away. And Philip would get up like, yeah, Dad, you won again. You get to put the game away. And then Lena would get up and say, ha ha, you get to put. And I realized it didn't matter how much I won, how many times I won. Guess what? It all goes back in the box. And that's the way it is with our life and with our possessions. There's this story in the New Testament where Jesus says a man was building his granaries more and more so he could have more. And God comes to him and says, you fool, tonight your life will be demanded of you. Who's going to get all your wealth now? I mean, we get and we collect and we keep things. And in fact, if you go to your house, I bet you will find stuff hidden away you forgot about, but in the moment you had to have. And your houses are full of that. And if we could just get that kind of stuff now that we thought was important, we had to have, and sold it and took that money and gave it to the poor, gave it to the church, gave it to people in need, then we are not just building up things here that are eventually going to break, that things are going to fall apart, but we are investing in people's lives and we are investing them into the kingdom of God himself, and that's what it means to invest in heaven. I bought my dad and my mom, they used to work at Stately Oaks all the time. My dad was, he loved Gone with the Wind and all that stuff. And man, I bought him these expensive Gone with the Wind plates. You know what I'm talking about? One of those ads you get on the internet, I guess, and kind of like late at night, we used to do like that. Oh yeah, I have to have an ab blaster. So anyway, I said, oh, Gone with the Wind plates. I'll get them for my dad. And my mom bought this real expensive cabinet. She had them all displayed in there. And she had a book, Gone with the Wind, in Russian and newspapers in German. And she had all this cool Gone with the Wind stuff. Well, my dad died of cancer. And so guess what? Mom gives me this cabinet of Gone with the Wind. And I've got all of this stuff with Gone with the Wind. And I'm like, I don't even like this. So now I have to wait till my mom dies so I can put this stuff on eBay and sell it. No, Mom, I wouldn't do that while you're alive. But the point is we collect stuff and we say, like, I'm going to hand this to my children. And then our children are like, okay, well, I'll take it. Then they sell it at a garage sale because someone else really wanted it. And then that person gets it, and eventually it ends up in the dump. Things don't satisfy, things don't last, and our tastes change. Your stuff can impact eternity, so begin to invest in things that last. You've ever heard, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? And I've heard what the one thing we've all heard, you can't take it with you, right? But you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead by investing today in the church, in people, in the poor. The second thing about our stuff affects our heart. In verse 21, Jesus says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's a connection between our heart and our possessions. In other words, we have to have things because we want it. We feel it. Everything is in it. Oh, I want this. I want this. I want this. It's going to make me happy. It's going to make me happy. What makes you happy today is not going to be what makes you happy tomorrow. I mean, I would love to be this materialistic guy that just like, I have a motorcycle, but I want a new one. I have a truck, but I want a new one. I have kids, but I want new ones, that kind of thing. And we say that because something makes us happy in that moment that satisfies us for just a brief time, but then it grows cold. When Margie and I first started dating, she said, "Paul, you are so funny." She said, "Paul, you are so spontaneous. I love that about you." Now I'm, "Paul, you are never serious and you never plan anything." The same things that brought us together, the same things that made her happy, are the same things now that she looks at me doing this going, "Paul." Our feelings change. Our emotions change. Madonna was right. She's a material girl living in a material world, and guess what? We are too. But on the other hand, we're also spiritual beings. We are in this world, but not of this world. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Jesus comes to Zacchaeus, who was a tax man, and Zacchaeus climbed up in the little tree, and he looks, and he sees Jesus, and Jesus stops and says, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." You remember that? "For I'm going..." All right, some of y'all need to be in Sunday school every week. I'm just telling you. So anyway, Zacchaeus has this dinner, and Jesus is there, and he is so moved spiritually that he says, "I'm going to take half of everything I own, and I'm going to give it to the poor. half of everything I own, I'm going to give it to the poor. And then he says, if I have cheated anybody, I'm going to give them four times what I have taken from them. And it wasn't doing this to say, see, Jesus, look what I've done. It's because his heart was changed. Has your heart been changed? Or are you still living in this material world and you're caught up in all these material things? Jesus doesn't say, you know what, Zacchaeus, good move. Jesus doesn't say, Zacchaeus, you know, that's what you should have done from the beginning. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, that's good, but don't do this anymore. You know what he said? He says, salvation has come to this house. It's clear when something impacts us so strong spiritually, it affects how we handle everything materially. Things that we thought we had to have don't even matter anymore. We become radical people, giving radically, generously. And your heart follows your treasure. Jesus compares our eyesight with our heart sight. This is what he says in verse 22 and 23. He says, the eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, he compares our eyes. You know, if we're just looking at the good things, we're letting the good things in, then there's going to be light in our body. But when we're focused on the bad things or on the negative things or on all these other things, then there's darkness in us. And how great is the darkness? Because it will overpower. Our heart is always going to follow the things that we are treasuring. Always. And then the third point is our stuff is going to reveal our master. Our stuff is going to reveal who our master really is. This is what Jesus says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot, not should not, but cannot serve God and money. We have two main gods in our life. The real God and money. I know some of us have other things, you know, fame or our reputation or our families or, you know, you have other little gods. But the two big ones that Jesus is talking about here is God and money. Let me tell you this. God loves you. God loves you so much that even when we were far from sin, God sent his son to die for us to bring us back into reconciliation with him. Money doesn't love you. When you turn away from money, guess what? It doesn't come back. God loves you. Money doesn't love you. God saves us. God protects us. God provides for us. God watches over us. God is there for us. God listens to us. Money doesn't save us. It doesn't protect us. Oh, we can try to save it and make it and spend it, but there's always going to be something else, something else, something else. Oh, well, you know, if you live like this and you do this and you should have 3 months worth of this, guess what? Those 3 months will go like this. And those of us that had money banked in, you had your 401ks banked in 2008, you remember what happened? It became like instead of a 401, it became like a 20 nothing. You know, it became nothing. Money doesn't love you. Money can't save you. So let's break it down. Store up treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven. That is whole life generosity. Whole life generosity. We give to God first, whatever is between you and God. I'm not going to say, okay, everybody, start tithing 10%, and that's a good place to start. It is a good place to start, but I want you to pray to God and say, God, what do you want me to give? And then also make it a priority. That's got to be the first thing. If we live our whole life generosity, it's not just about money. It's about where are we spending our time? Where are we spending our energy? Where are we spending the gifts and talents that we have? Do you realize that Sunday is the first day of the week? Look on your calendar. What's the first day of the week? But we think of Sunday as what? The end of the weekend, right? So if you think of it that way, what happens? Monday, work. Tuesday, Wednesday, hump day. Thursday, okay. Friday's casual day. Now it's a weekend. Saturday, Sunday, I'm just too worn out. I can't even go to church. Wrong thinking. Give God first. If the first of the week is Sunday, what does it do? It gets us mindset, gets our energy and everything ready so we can go into work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday afternoon, let your weekend start. Saturday, spend time with your family, do whatever you have to do. But Sunday, give it back to God. It's His first and best, and make it a priority. Then the gifts and talents that God gives you. Not everybody can get up on the stage and sing like Joe. Not everybody can get up here and preach like, well, I think a lot of you could probably preach better than me. But the point is, not everybody wants to preach. You have gifts and talents, and how can you use those gifts and talents that God has given you to pour into others? Some of you can make money hand over fist. I don't know how you do it. My brother is like that. I got a brother like that, and then I got a brother that is, he's like a black hole when it comes to money, you know? And I'm kind of caught in the middle. But the point is, that's a gift. That's a talent that he has. So what are you going to do with that? Just keep it and keep it, and then God say, you fool, tonight your life is demanded of you. What will you do with your wealth and riches now? Or will you invest it to move it forward? Our money, our time, our talents, our gifts. Give God first. That's what Jesus is saying. Practical steps. Look at the possessions you have. It was kind of funny. Margie and I started doing this as I was preparing for this. Went home and looked at, what is this? You had to have that, Paul. Remember when we went to the mountains and you said, oh, that's cool, and you just bought it. I said, yeah, but I bought it for you. You know? Find stuff in your house like that and sell it. Get rid of it. Give it to somebody that can use it. We have people that donate stuff to the church, and it's like, okay, we can't use it here. And if we can't use it here, we'll find somebody that can use it. Or we'll find somebody that needs it. And if we can't do that, then we'll take it to the Salvation Army and say, you know, do you know someone that can do this? Because then people can use it, and we are investing in God's kingdom. Not just trying to grab stuff for ourselves. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 says this, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, and with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You learn to give and then increase it. Now, some of you, I've already upset, and that's okay. You can, like I said, take it up with Jesus. But let's talk about this for a minute. All of us rearrange our finances all the time. Things come up in our lives, and we rearrange how we're going to pay off this or do this or buy this, and we do that all the time. What if we put the focus on God first and said, you know, God, here's my paycheck, and that first portion is going to you. Now I have all this rest, the rest of this, and let's see how I can arrange it that way. We arrange our finances all the time. Serving people, sharing the good news of what God did for us, not only with our money, but with our time, our talents, our things. Give God first our money, our time, our day, our week. And the second thing, if you were kind of feeling uneasy, like, dang it, I came to church for the first time today and the pastor's talking about money. God doesn't just have random acts. Maybe God appointed you to be here today to hear this very message. You know, we're going through a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and I was sharing with Sandra. I said, man, I don't like to talk about money. She goes, well, you're not really. Jesus is. Just throw it out there. Don't apologize. Go for it. But you know me, I throw it out, but then I start backing up, going like, oh, please don't be offended. Well, take it up with Jesus. As Jesus talks about money, and we read this in the scriptures, either what he says is true or it's not. And so if we're here today and we're in the middle of this sermon and we get to this passage and you're here today, maybe God wanted you to hear this because God is always at work in our lives. I would always say this, never give out of obligation. Okay, well, here's this, I'm just going to give it. Don't do that. We always say, no matter what we're, if we're asking money for the Sunday school rooms or the parking lot or for the Love Makes Me Do It or for the Salvation Army or for the food pantry, this is not going to, help. Let's get some more crazy stuff going on in here. We're going to have fireworks one day. It doesn't have anything to do with this. You are investing in God's kingdom. Never give out of obligation. If God is telling you don't give, then don't give. But God lavishes on us blessings every single day. And when we recognize that, we want to give back out of a sense of joy. And if we are overwhelmed, if we are overwhelmed by God's grace, then we should be inclined to give extravagantly. Man, I want to be at the church every time the doors were open. Not because it's my job, not just because I want to see who's looking, but because, man, I want to be there in case God does a mighty work somehow. Someone's going to walk in the door, and it's going to give me an opportunity to present the gospel, or to be a light, or to be some help, or to offer hope. What is God calling you to do? And some of you, it's going to be very uncomfortable. Because you know, and God, you've been fighting with God way too long. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that we would become extravagant, radical people that just want to give and give and give in order to bring your kingdom here in this place. Father, I pray that we would give our time, that we would open ourselves up and look for opportunities to spend time with people and to listen to people and to let them know that we love them and care for them. Father, I pray that you would give us a humility and a boldness with the gifts that you have given us so that we can pour into others, Father, and just come alongside others and make a difference in their lives. Father, as you have blessed us financially, I pray, Father, that we would in turn invest in your kingdom and in your people. That we would be people that would just give and give and give just so we can see the things that you do. Not what we can get back. Not that we receive any of the glory and praise, but Father, that you receive all of this. Father, I pray that you would hear our hearts this morning. And that we would listen for your voice. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.